Hi, welcome to Digital Explained to My Mom, the podcast that cuts through the marketing wah-wah. My name is Sultan Simlali. I'm a business consultant passionate about marketing and technology. A couple of months ago, I had a hard time explaining to my mom what I was doing in my day job. I struggled so much that she politely said, interesting. Would you like more coffee? Talking about an experience with friends and colleagues, I realized that I was not alone. This is why I have decided to go on a quest. Find a marketing professional that will be able to tell me who they are, what they do, in words my mom would understand. Enjoy the show. Today I'm meeting Grégory Pouy. Grégory Pouy is brand evangelist at Ariane, co-founder of Plink, founder of La Mercatique, and of the podcast Flan. Grégory Pouy is a globally recognized blogger, speaker, evangelist, consultant, and podcaster on Flan, a podcast that analyzes the evolution of the society in the age of the Industrial Revolution. I heard about Grégory via one of my colleagues, Olivier Binisti, who is also listening to the show. Hi, Olivier. Olivier told me about Vlan, Grégory's podcast, and I got hooked by the first podcast. And then I thought, okay, I really need to talk to Grégory. He has some amazing insights and great view on digital and beyond. Thank you, Grégory, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, we switched roles a bit. Grégory, I tried to introduce you, but how would you introduce yourself to the audience, to the people that don't know you yet?
So that's actually a very good question, because I think I'm starting to introduce myself a different ways. I used to say that I'm a marketer, and I'm still a marketer, but I think, and my podcast revealed it to me somehow. It sounds strange, but my podcast was a marketing podcast in the first place, which transformed, as you explained, into a podcast that's trying to explain or to understand the evolution of society. And now I feel more like a society anthropologist or a cultural anthropologist, if that makes sense, meaning that there are like different revolutions we are going through. There's an economical revolution, there's a climate change, and so there's a revolution about that. There's a technological evolution and revolution. There's a revolution also about the relationship that we have with each other, gender, but also to ourselves, a belief. And so all those revolutions are going, we are going through that at the same moment. And so you can't really understand and do marketing, I believe, in those days, if you are not trying to understand how society is evolving, because there's too many change. Just to focus on, let's say, for example, growth or social media, it's not like that. You really have to understand everything, because everything is very connected. So I would more introduce myself as a cultural anthropologist or analyst, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely. Completely. I really like you talk about it, because it's usually the macro view you need to take on the world, especially when you want to talk about marketing. It only plays on the global trends and how society is evolving, and then play onto it and being able to look at it beyond just making a nice logo or having a social media channel.
Yeah, totally. A lot of brands are very much about creating content, creating more and more content, being like, they're socially trying to, usually what brands are doing, and I see that all the time, they are ticking boxes like VR, it's done, AI is done, chatbots done, podcast done, they are checking boxes, but they don't really think about, so you said it, I've created this podcast company, and usually what brands are talking, are asking me. And when I was into viral in 2006, it was pretty much the same questions. Oh, how can we be the first in the industry? We want to create a podcast about our company, very brand focused. And, we don't have much money. So 10,000, would that work? And that's really so stupid. And it's always, I can't believe they didn't evolve, because they could have understood, like, through blogs or through Brent's blog, I mean, or through viral or through social media, but they didn't. They're still repeating the same mistakes, and that's quite interesting to me.
Yeah, I see that as well with customers who work with. Sometimes that it also highly depend on how at the C level the organization is being led.
Totally.
So if people will do what the incentives are. The goal objectives for someone in marketing is to create a new app or to reach a specific goal in followers on social media, is what they will do. They will not think about it.
No, yeah, exactly.
And unless they are challenged.
And yeah, that's very hard to do. I just before we record the podcast, I just sent an email to a client of mine about podcasts. And they're like, oh, we want to create a podcast about the history of our brands because that's so amazing. We have like a 100 years. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, nobody will be interested into that.
So that's a good example. So how do you approach this kinds of conversation? Because I mean, you can make some good money if they pay you every time they want to do a podcast or anything.
Yeah, I was never. I'm a marketer, so it's not that I'm not into money at all. I am, but I'm not doing anything to earn money. Like, for example, my podcast got around 80,000 to 100 listeners per month. So I could do advertising on it and earn like between 4,000 and 5,000 euros a month. And I'm not doing it because I think this is not honest, meaning that I don't believe in those advertising. I don't think it will help a brand anyhow. I think it is very boring for listeners. So I will be the only one gaining out of that. And I don't want to do that. So same goes with podcasts for brands. I don't want to sell podcasts just for making money. I want to create content that is relevant for people and relevant to the brand, because the problem is with the example I gave in the first place is eventually what's going to happen is brand will be like, oh, we tried podcast, it didn't work, so podcast is not working for our brand, which is not true, because it's just that your podcast sucks and you had the bad advice in the first place. So I'm just trying to have, like, you know, good advices for brands, and if they want to create like stupid content, they can do that with another company. I think honestly, I don't really want to create stupid content, because eventually it doesn't help the company I've built. Sure, in the short term it will help, because, well, you will have references but also money. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, I think it doesn't help. It doesn't help the industry, and it hasn't helped the company either, and your reputation, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to avoid that. But the way I approach podcasts for brands, what I'm saying usually is that there's no short-term direct ROI, meaning you're not going to sell more through a brand podcast. That is just not true. Podcast is more about the brand preferences. So it's more a long-term, non-directly financial ROI. It doesn't mean there's no ROI. There is a ROI, but it's long-term and non-directly financial. It's about brand preferences. So I'm trying to find out in the brand DNA which are the part that's going to help the brand to have a preference amongst a certain type of clients, and then to define the niche that we're going to focus on and what those people would need or would like to hear that the brand can bring to them. And this is the beginning of the thinking, and we're doing a workshop with the marketing people at the brand to define that, because otherwise you will maybe create good content, but it will not be that interesting eventually for nobody.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So your whole podcast support you do for brands is with Plink, but yeah, you have, besides that, a lot of other activities, I understand.
So what I do is help brands with the strategies mostly. And so I'm involved into a blockchain project for luxury brands called Oriani. I'm one of the co-founder, but basically this is also somehow marketing consultancy, because I'm helping them with the relationship to luxury brands, but also with their strategy. And then I'm a teacher and I have this podcast company. And yeah, that's what I do. It's not so many different things. Actually, I only do marketing. It's just that the Plink doesn't need me 100% of the time, because what I do for Plink is mostly finding the clients, doing the strategy. But then the production is handled mostly by my partner, who is a sound specialist. So I'm not so much involved into the production of the podcast. I'm much more involved into finding the clients and defining the strategy in the first place. And then there is like somehow a customer relationship, but I'm not so much involved with the creation, because my partner has 30 years of experience with sound design and sound creation. So he doesn't really need me for the production of the podcast.
No, so 30 years experience, yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's huge.
it's great to have someone like that.
As yeah, well. Really is.
Yeah. So big up to him if he's listening to the show. So you do so many things. So how do you get inspired and how do you evolve your career?
So the thing is that I'm a very curious person. I think that's basically what is behind all that, is that I'm super curious and I'm wondering myself a lot of questions and trying to find answers. And I'm very lucky because I'm connected to amazing people. And amongst those people are amazing speakers that I'm inviting on my podcast. Mm-hmm. And whether I'm wondering, like, for example, the future of journalism, or how can blockchain or AI change brands' governance, or how personal relationships are evolving, or how emotions are important in the workplace now. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those questions, like what is the relationship between people in the city? Or, I mean, all those questions I have in mind, and I'm having people around me having answers. So whether that's that, or sometimes I meet people that are so amazing and I'm like, oh, you got to come on my podcast. And then I have also people that I invite, who after the podcast tell me, oh, you got to invite that person. She's so interesting. And I've got a guy, a sociologist, who actually gave me a list of like 20 people. And that's amazing, to be honest. I'm like, wow. I didn't even have time to call them. But I will for sure. Yeah.
And so how often do you do a podcast? Is that a weekly podcast that you
target? A weekly podcast. Yeah, it's a weekly podcast every Tuesday at 6:45 in the morning. Oh, wow. I'm releasing it at 6:45. Oh, well, it's automatic. I'm not awake. I am awake, but I'm not doing that. I'm taking my breakfast at that moment. It's automatic, hopefully. Technology are great sometimes.
Yeah, indeed, for those kind of things, yeah. I remember, completely side notes, but one of my colleagues discovered the ability to send email, time to email using Outlook. And so he was sending email at 3 a.m. to impress our manager. So
that's cool.
So the podcast is called Digital Explain to My Mom. So my question to you is does your mom know what you do, and how are you explaining that?
That's so complicated. She's so not into technology. That's crazy. I'm usually known for being very simple in the example I'm taking and the way I explain things. That's why a lot of brands are asking me to come and do conferences at their place. Mm-hmm. But for my mom, I think I can never go simply enough so that she can understand it. I think what I'm trying to say is, you know, basically what marketing means is the science of sales. So I'm just telling her that I'm helping brands to sell more or better to customers, which is very basically what I do. And then the podcast, she kind of understand it. And the fact that I create podcasts for brands, she doesn't understand why. but she kind of understands what it is. I don't think she ever listened to any episode, but I'm quite sure she never did. but she knows that I'm doing that. It's not very concrete for her, but she at least understands that I'm helping brands to sell better or more. It's not more because I don't believe in more, but maybe to sell better. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty clear. That's pretty clear.
It's a very simple version of what marketing is. So then I'm not trying to get into details with blockchain and stuff like that because, I did. I tried to explain her what blockchain was about. I explained her in a very simple manner that digital as we know it is the digitalization of communication. So it is email, it is e-commerce, all those things. And blockchain basically is the digitalization of trust. It's not exactly true, but it's a digitalization of trust and transaction. So it's very hard to tell all the possibilities that will come through blockchain. But I'm giving her a few examples. Like, for example, if you want to send money in the US or abroad and you're on a Friday, the money is going to arrive probably on the Tuesday. And it will cost you quite a lot of money for the transaction. Whether if you do that with blockchain, it's going to take like 10 minutes and it's going to cost you a few cents. So that you can understand. I'm not trying to go too deep in the details because, well, after that, you would be completely lost, I guess. I'm sure.
Probably. I never tried to talk blockchain with my parents. So
that's a hard one.
So I try to talk about a DMP with my parents. And
Wow.
Yeah. which I kind of succeeded. So I
was, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the way I explain DMP is that my dad had a shop selling secondhand stuff. And right. One of his business partner was hanging around in Brussels was selling mostly to African people coming to Brussels banks secondhand. And he was just roaming around trying to find customers. And he knew where to find them. So he was collecting signals from people going to specific places looking for specific material. Oh. And so I told him, well, actually, your business partner was like a DMP. He was just collecting signals, segmenting them, and then trying to bring them to your shop. And he said, oh, okay, that's a DMP. Okay, I said, yeah, money is less, but digital. Yeah. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's that.
Very simply said. That's
true. So that's how I came with the podcast as well, trying to find, okay, how can we simplify stuff? Because I think sometimes it's way simpler that.
I think people, I mean, especially people called expert.
Yeah.
are trying to make it very complicated. So they are like very expert, you know, I'm such an expert and I'm using words that you can't understand. And we invent new word, you know, like native advertising. This is a new word for a very old concept. Yeah. Or, I mean, there's so old concepts and we're like inventing a new word for it. It's just like, oh, okay. It's a public electionnel in French. It's like, okay, this is the same than native advertising. It sounds much more cool to say native advertising, but it's actually a very old concept. Yes. We were doing that in the press like 15 years ago already. So, and even before, I wasn't working before, but yeah. So we like that, you know, oh yeah, VR, AI, you know, it's so complicated.
Yeah.
GDPR.
Oh, no, GDPR, please don't talk about GDPR, please. Let's finish the year without talking about GDPR. It's been hell for many companies. Imagine you meet someone who's 18 or who's studying and struggling with their studies or looking for guidance from a guru like you.
I'm a guru now. That's very cool. I'm going to call you more often.
I mean, you don't want to be called an expert, so I'm going to call you a guru, and then you can also be very expert. So what would you advise them?
You know, it really depends. There's not one rule. It really depends on their behavior. And it really depends on what the level of studies and what they want to have. I think the biggest lies of all is that happiness is very connected to power and money and the big title and the big money and stuff like that. I think this is such a lie, and this is actually making people miserable. So then if someone really want to be happy, I will say, you know, you don't need all those stuff, to be honest. What you need to do is having fun in your job. This is the most important thing because money won't change anything eventually. So what do you really love, and what have you never dared to do because you were like, this is not a job. Maybe that's a job. But then is that someone who want to create a company or is having, usually what I've seen into entrepreneurs, and that's actually my case also, you are taking revenge against something somewhere at some point. And if you are in that behavior, I would say that, and if you can afford to take a risk also, I would say that take an industry that is so old that nobody is very interested in it, and just try to change it, to make it better, to make it cooler. Because people from the industries, they do like everybody does in any industries, they do benchmarking within the industry. And since the industry is kind of dead, there's probably nothing's going on there. So you can arrive with new ideas and new concept and change it completely. And that's how usually what's happening when industries are getting disrupted. It's never by someone from the industry. It's always someone from another industry. And I've seen so many industries being disrupted like that. Music, videos, and like Netflix, Spotify, but also Uber and also Nest. It's always someone that is not working industry. And those industry, I mean, Nest, this is thermostat. This is just so boring. It's such a boring industry. But eventually he sold it for $5 billion to Google. So not that boring then. So it really depends on the person. I think the best advice still is to have fun in what you do. And that's, I think, the best advice, because all those big car, latest phone, you know, you need money. I mean, in those countries where we're living, you can't, it's a lie to say, oh, money doesn't make happiness. It's true to a certain point. But this point is quickly arrived. And then it doesn't change much to your happiness. It's changing much more into you will compare, and you will never have enough money. When you look at Carlos Ghosn, the Renault Nissan CEO, trying to fake his revenue for, I mean, he's got so much money. Why would you do that anyway? But you always want more. It's a dead hand. There's no hand to that. It's really something that people will always look after.
There will always be a guy that is richer than you are.
And if you are having fun in what you do, maybe you won't be the richest person in the world, but you will make good money. Because if you are smart and have business ideas and trying to make things better, not everybody's got this mindset, but I can explain the mindset to someone. And then you can see opportunities in everything, and then you can do that. And so maybe you won't be the richest person, but that's not, it doesn't, I mean, it's not a real goal either to me. So,
No, it's true. So talking about happiness and purpose, I think you also do some pro bono work with a few foundations like Epic.
Les Déterminés also.
Okay. Can you share us more about those?
So, Epic is a foundation that is trying to disrupt fundraising, actually. So, they were like, it's a startup created by Alexandre Mars, who is a startupper, and he decided to put all his wealth in the service of Epic, or at least a part of his wealth in Epic. And the foundation is doing a selection of the best nonprofit in the world for children. And then he's trying to find new ways for people to give money. Like, for example, when your salary is like 2,000 euros, whatever,
yeah.
It will say, you know, give the comma yeah. To the foundation. And if you do that as an employee, the company is going to give 3 times more of what you gave. Yeah. So that's one way. When a goal is marked in football in France, mm-hmm. every time it's the case, money goes through Epic. When people do sell their startups, they can say, yeah, okay, one part of this is going to be given to Epic and all those. I mean, in many different ways, it's trying to get money from places where people didn't thought about it. So that's Epic. And then the Determinate, it's a foundation that is trying to help entrepreneurs from the suburb area mm-hmm. Or the poor area. And I'm trying to help them creating their own company. So I'm doing consulting with them for... to help them.
Okay. No, that's great. Mm-hmm. I think as part of the show notes, I'll be providing links to those.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
I remember you talked about it in one of your episodes, and it's very inspiring to see how disruption can touch almost anything. So how can people learn more about you, Grégory?
Well, I think the best way to learn about, I mean, they're different me. They're different you, I guess. My podcast is a good way to learn about what's happening in my head. I think because you will be surprised. You can go from polyamorous to the Gilets Jaunes to AI, and I mean it can go in many different directions, yeah. And that's what's happening in my mind.
Yeah.
And then, if you want to know more about me, you can always follow my Instagram, which is more personal, I would say. And LinkedIn for the links and the writing that I'm doing. I'm not publishing every single podcast episode on LinkedIn, but I usually do. But also, I'm writing sometimes. I'm preparing actually a very big article on what are the real questions that brands should wonder. Mm-hmm. And no, this is not digital transformation, because digital transformation to me... it's kind of old, and if I had to create a digital index, I would say that having a digital director in 2019 is pretty much a bad signal. To me, digital is everywhere, so there's not, I mean, we were saying that 5 years ago, but today, really, digital should be the job of everyone, not like from a specific team. So I'm writing that article to explain what are the biggest questions, and the biggest questions are, what is my business model mm-hmm. In an economy that is multi-niche?
Yeah.
What is the place of emotions? What is my social impact, but also what is my governance in the age of AI and blockchain? Mm-hmm. So all are those questions are to me, and how can I integrate technology? Yeah. So to me, those questions are very much more important than just how can I acculturate people in the team so that they understand that digital is very important.
Yeah.
Because, I think they got that. They just don't know how, and they just need time in their calendar to actually put that in their job desk.
Yeah. Just sit back, look, and...
Yeah. And so this is an article to come beginning of January, I think.
Oh.
It's going to be quite long. But I'm trying to write that down.
Okay. That is great. I'm really looking forward to it. So I really want to thank you for taking the time for this interview.
Pleasure.
And I'll provide links to different topics we talked about during the podcast. And I really encourage people to listen to Vlan and to follow Greg, who has very interesting material and very great ideas on digital and beyond.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, and speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Digital Explained to My Mom, the podcast that cuts through the marketing wow. If you like the podcast, please rate it with 5 stars on iTunes or the podcasting app you use. Remember that sharing is caring, so feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. You will find the show notes on our website, digitalexplainedtomymom.com. I'm looking forward for your feedback, ideas, and more. So let's connect on LinkedIn. My name is Sultan Simnali, or on Twitter, where I go by the name of Sultanology. The music you have heard is from bensound.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.